Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Well, welcome to the show today. We're so glad you're listening because we all go through stuff, and many of you guys are going through stuff today, and we can help you. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We're actually recording a second show after today, so we're going to be on the air, taking calls, for 2 hours. And when I say we are going to be taking calls, I'm on the show with me today is JJ West. JJ is a fellow licensed marriage and family therapist, and he's also the presenter at our Everyman's Battle Intensives and Intimacy and Marriage Intensives. And I also have Dr. Alice Benton, who's a licensed psychologist and co-author of Understanding and Loving Your Child in a Screen-Saturated World. And Alice, you have an opening to share with us today.
Well, I'm deeply involved in all things family. And somebody asked me recently, could you talk about separation anxiety disorder? So I'll admit I brushed up a bit to have my knowledge be fresh. And I saw, first of all, some of the statistics that about 1 in 4 up to 1 in 10 of us, both children and adults, experiences separation anxiety disorder. And it's completely normal for us to have a level of discomfort when we separate from a loved one. But when that discomfort cannot be soothed, and it might lead into headaches, crying that can't stop, a temper tantrum, behavioral tantrum, difficulty sleeping, even nausea, then those are signs that it might actually be more on the level of a separation anxiety disorder. So I wanted to give two of the treatments that we parents can also apply for our children or for ourselves if we experience it, because it can start with many of us moms, that it's hard for us to separate from our children. And parental anxiety can be contagious. And that might be one of the reasons why our children also struggle to separate from us. So a few of the things that we should question both as parents and involve our children in the discussion. We could ask, you know, how do you feel when you separate from me? And what's your worst fear of what will happen if we're not together? And have you ever been able to get through a separation from me? Have you ever been okay? Well, what was the reason? What helped at that time? But there's also normally a deeper root to it, which there usually is, where maybe there's been a divorce, an illness, a hospitalization, a traumatic separation in the past that the child unconsciously applies to the current day situation. And so looking through to find out what might have led to this and exacerbated this fear, and then at a time when you have some energy and patience to do it, draw out the story with your child. What was it like when we got divorced? What was it like when I was hospitalized and you couldn't be around me? And by talking that through and comforting versus correcting, we can really help our children learn to separate from us. Just lastly, I'll quick add, there's a systematic desensitization process where you go through a lower level of a feared situation, like you're going to grandma's house and you're going to have a lot of fun there. That's not as fearful. And you start to build up, spend a little time at school. Eventually, we're going to do an overnight away, but you start small with a whole lot of comfort and relaxation and then get to the highest form of the feared separation. That builds strength and endurance.
Well, I love it, Alice. JJ, you have any thoughts on separation anxiety?
Well, I love the idea of increasing the communication, asking them to tell the story, because so often we don't realize what is informing their emotional response to what's going on. And so increasing that communication is so vital.
Yeah, I love it. It's called building narrative, right? And when we build narrative to our emotional experience, we integrate those two sides of the brain. And that's what builds emotional health for us. And you know, abandonment is, or separations are a stage of development that we all must learn to accomplish. And if we don't, they start to impact us in adulthood, especially in separations and arrivals. Well, if that example connected with you, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We're here to take your calls for the next 2 hours.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer from New Life. Two shopkeepers own stores directly across the street from each other.
They spent their days tracking each other's business and gloating triumphantly each time a customer chose their store. One night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers and said, "I'll give you anything you request, but whatever you receive, your competitor will receive double. Would you be rich? You can be very rich indeed, but he'll be twice as wealthy. Do you desire a long and healthy life? Request it, but his life will be longer and healthier. What's your desire?" The man thought for a moment, and with a sly grin stated, "Strike me blind in one eye." Bitterness is relentless and dangerous when allowed to take root in our hearts. It destroys decision-making abilities and compromises otherwise focused and productive lives. Its only remedy is forgiveness, given freely by Jesus Christ, to be dispensed generously to others. I'm Stephen Arterburn. Come visit me at newlife.com.
Wow, I don't know where Steve comes up with these stories, but man, what a story that was. That reminds me of the call for us to love and pray for our enemies, and also reminds me of the quote of bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Wow. Well, we're going to go to our calls right now. We're going to go to Alex, who listens, who's from San Jose, California, listens on KFIA. Alex, how can we help you today?
Hi. I got a question on my marriage. My wife and I have been having some issues where she feels, or I guess she tells me that I am not there for her emotionally, and especially when I get in contact with my mom. My mom has kidney issues and is very sick, so I tend to, when I talk to her or whatever, I tend to shut down, and then on top of that, I'm also not very good with managing or expressing emotions. I tend to just swallow everything and move forward. I try to help out as much as I can around the house and be there for her, but, you know, it's what she tells me over and over is it's not what she needs. We've gotten into two big arguments where they've gotten somewhat physical, and then one actually happened just last night where I kind of got frustrated and ended up hitting the garage door with my hand, and obviously I'm frustrated and ashamed that I even let myself get to that point. But, you know, she's talking about divorce, and I've kind of been talking to her here and there throughout the morning, and she's talking about separation, and then that she wants to see big changes, and she wants to feel loved more than anything by me, and, you know, me lead her and the family. She is 10 years older with 3 kids, and so I guess my question is, like, how do I go about being able to understand my emotions and just being able to love her the way she needs to feel loved without considering I don't even know what love truly feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. Alex, how long have you guys been married?
A year and 6 months. It'll be in September this year, it'll be 2 years.
Okay, so not very long here. And when you say physical, I know that you gave us the example of you hitting the garage door, but has there been physical violence between the two of you?
Yes.
Okay, and who has initiated or participated in the physical violence?
The first time, we were in the car and she hit me in the face. And then yesterday, I was trying to leave the house because she had asked me to leave, and I was trying to leave, and she was kind of following me, and that kind of ticked me off. I'm like, I'm on my way out. Anyways, she grabbed one of my tools and was kind of like, I don't know what she's going to do, so I snatched it out of her hand. I was not aware that I crushed her hand or, you know, hurt her nail, and where she had a defense of her, and she smacked me again, and then I didn't know if she was going to hit me again or what, so I pushed her away from me, you know, and yeah, which again, it's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On my part, I can't control her, but on my end, it's not acceptable for me to be doing that stuff.
Alex, even with the ugly content you are bravely sharing with us, I've got to tell you, I've had a pretty big smile on my face the entire time I've listened to you. And that sounds counterintuitive, but my smile is because of your humility and awareness. Why are you able to speak this openly and honestly about yourself and your shortcomings?
Um, What do you mean?
It's just very rare, Alex, that you would be taking so much of the responsibility while pointing out things that she has done as well. But almost all of us, we finger point, we deny that we had any part in it, and yet you have a high level of awareness about how you handle emotions and where you're falling short. That's unusual.
I don't know. I guess she points it out a lot to me. I mean, don't get me wrong. In our arguments, I do get defensive and I try to defend myself. And it's not till I calm down and later on where I'm like, well, maybe I am the issue.
I want you to know, I think your situation is very treatable, in part because of your willingness. You obviously listen to her complaints and you're taking them to heart. And so if you will take further action beyond this call, this is treatable, especially because although your wife is talking separation and divorce, so we got to take this so seriously, but she's also still saying, I want to see big change. Emotional growth is very possible and likely if you'll submit to some of the processes that we'll describe to you about how you grow some more self-control over some of these difficult emotions. And I'm sure you've got reason for them. You mentioned your mom. It's hard to talk to her. You tend to shut down after you've spoken with her. And I want to ask a diagnostic question. Alex, is there any substance use, even alcohol, marijuana, involved for you or for your wife?
I tend to drink. We've both been kind of smoking weed, mm-hmm. Which is weird, surprisingly. And I think it's just mainly because we sit down and we're just with one another and not on our phones. We have more of the deeper conversation, but I don't think it has anything to do with the weed. Like I said, I think it's just we isolate ourselves from everything else. But when I tend to feel a type of way, I do tend to kind of drink or not drink excessively, but I tend to drink more because I normally don't drink. But I tend to want more alcohol or whatever to not really focus on my emotions.
Well, Alex, you probably know this then, especially with what you just said, that screen use and substance use, it does a pretty darn good job of helping us sidestep our uncomfortable emotions initially. But over the long run, it keeps us in an immature emotional state where we avoid dealing with problems. Instead, we medicate them by these distractions or by substance use. And especially if you had a difficult childhood and your mom can be emotionally overwhelming, you probably haven't learned the tools of how to be able to know what you feel, identify it, and express it in an assertive way to then be able to work it out with your wife. And that's about getting into the recovery process. Very doable, and it can be highly successful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, Alice. JJ, what would you offer, Alex?
Yeah, I would want to build on what Alice was just saying, Alex, that this is, you know, being emotionally healthy and being able to emotionally regulate, being able to express your emotions in a healthy way to others, all of those things are skills that we learn and develop over time. They're not like spiritual gifts that some are born with and some aren't. They're not special things that arrive in Amazon packages, right? They're things that you have to learn. And if you didn't learn them in the family that you grew up in, you're what we call the family of origin. If you didn't learn those skills in your family of origin, you don't just automatically pick them up when you reach adulthood. You still have to learn. You still have to develop those skills. And so there's a couple of things that you can do to kind of play catch up, if you will, to work on yourself. And I agree with Alice. I love the fact that you are willing to look at yourself. You're willing to say, okay, where can I change and where can I grow because I can't fix, change, or control her, right? So one of the things I would recommend, if you have never read the book How We Love by Milan and Kay Yurkovich, I think this would be a great resource for you to start with to help understand your own way of relating as it was impacted by how you grew up. It also could help you identify how your wife relates. I think that that's going to be important as well. But the second thing that I believe you're going to really benefit from and what I want you to work on specifically is paying attention to your own internal emotional state. Because you, as you said, there's been multiple places where you get to a point where you have this kind of explosive reaction. You and your wife both do this, but you get to a point where you have this overreaction. And what happens is your your tolerance level is going down as your emotional state is rising or getting more and more distressed. Yeah. And instead of waiting until we're at the explosion level where I'm punching the door or I'm hitting something, I'm pushing her, she's hitting me. Instead of waiting till we get to that point before we go, oh, I got to do something different, is to start regulating. So if that's at a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, if that's at a 9 or a 10, when I notice that I'm at a 5, that I take a different path. That may mean that I need to go outside and go for a walk. It may mean that I need to go and sit in my room quietly and pray for a few minutes. It may be that it may mean a lot of different things, but it's paying attention to what's going on internally for me before I get to the explosion point, before I get to the point of no return. That's going to really help you to be able to stay engaged in a healthy way and then recognize, oh, I'm getting to a place where I won't be healthy, so I need to disengage for a while so that I can re-engage in a healthy way.
And Alex, you're going to have to get into the work quickly because your wife is considering separation, and it will be right. by showing her versus telling her that you're going to right. be different. So we can get yeah. you connected with an individual counselor. I want you to get into a life recovery group, and we can find one for you near you. And then couples counseling as well, which we can get you connected with. And I want these to be your top three goals, at least to start. First one is emotional resolution, which is working through those distressing feelings you have. Learning assertive communication. And the third is sobriety.
Yeah.
So I have gone to, I believe, 2 New Life counselors. I just got done with one maybe like a month ago. I actually stopped it because I didn't really feel like it was helping very much. I think I was doing like once every week for a couple of weeks, and all it was is just me telling him what happened throughout my day or my week, and then him just be like, okay, yeah, I can see how that's done. But that would get no, like, you know, I guess guidance or, I don't know, direction on where to go and how to handle what was going on or whatever.
Alex, you need a very directive counselor who's going to work you through the steps that we've been talking about. And so what we can do is, because we have a well-vetted group of counselors that we can connect you with, we can connect you with someone who's very directive, gives homework, and understands the desperation of your situation. That you're right. You can't just have a listener, a reflective listener. That's not sufficient for you. You need to kind of get into a boot camp of therapy to do this work quickly with the hope of protecting your marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And here's what I'd say to you, Alex, too. I mean, picking a therapist, too, it requires work on your part. And so being able to ask really good questions to find out who's going to be a really good fit for you. And I think Alice, is giving you great advice. Ask somebody, can you be directive? Can you help me? Can you give me steps, action steps that I can that I can take each week? And I love what you had said here, JJ, too, about having Alex go back, look at his family of origin. We are going to send you the book here, How We Love. But JJ, you're really talking about building something called a self-reflective function, or the observing self, being able to watch and see what is happening inside me and how can I take that break? Because to put names to what you were talking about here, JJ, about these stages of development and the skills that Alex needs to develop, it's impulse control and being able to tolerate negative emotions. And if you can understand when those negative emotions are rising up inside you and recognize that you can tend to be impulsive when it gets to that 8, 9, 10, learning to take some space. But I want to encourage you, Alex, to let us help you find an individual therapist. Let us help you find a couples therapist too. And you may actually need more resources than that. You may need an anger management group or a life recovery group, like Alice is saying, because I'm concerned for you with the level of conflict that's happening, right? Especially with substance abuse. You just maybe one bad decision away from this blowing up. We're going to send you a copy of How We Love. If you want to call in, talk to us today, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. As you heard there, 1-800-229-3000. We're taking calls for the remainder of this hour, and then we're taking calls for another hour after this. At New Life, we run intensives, and we have the Every Man's Battle intensive May 17th in Washington, D.C. And JJ, I know that you're going to be there here presenting here. Why, can you share with us what is the biggest excuse men give for not attending?
I would say there's two. One is cost. They'll say, oh, it's too expensive. I can't afford it, or I can't take that much time off work, which really it's not that much time off work because it's on a weekend. and then two is it would be too hard, too shameful. I can't talk about this. So as far as the cost goes, I would say two things to that. One is for some of you, you need to consider how much money have you actually spent on your addiction? Mm-hmm. How much money over the years have you accumulated? And some of you haven't spent a dime, and we'll talk about that at the intensive. But you want to consider how much money have you spent, and know that because it's an addiction type of thing, it's going to get worse. I'm going to end up doing more and more. Those lines that I have now in the sand, they're going to get blurred, and I'm going to go further into this behavior. The second is that we have scholarships. We don't want anyone to ever not attend because of cost being the main factor. And so I would encourage you to call New Life and talk to them about the scholarship program to reduce the cost of the intensive. The second thing, though, is shame. And we always say that Every Man's Battle is the safest place on the planet for you to be you. We create what's called a no shame zone, where no matter what your story of brokenness is, it is a safe place for you to share it. We do that by telling our own stories of brokenness. We're pretty open and honest about our stories, which hopefully opens the door for the participants to do the same. But neither cost nor shame should be the inhibiting factor to you coming, because it's an opportunity to actually experience freedom for the first time in your life.
Yeah, I love that, JJ. And I also think about a question for listeners here is, what would you pay to be free from this addiction? And again, yeah, thinking about the time that it takes to go and process through and discover skills and insights on how to become free from pornography and sexual addiction, you know, how much time have you actually spent yourself on this addiction, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're just learning to invest your time in a different way.
And gentlemen, we know that the shame can be so weighty, it practically paralyzes you. And you may have felt spiritually, emotionally paralyzed at times, but the weight of it will lift and lift quickly. Even if you start out as a listener on the weekend and work your way into speaking about your own story, men just speak about the weight lifting off of them when they participate in this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So May 17th, Washington, D.C., if you're in that area. Again, as JJ said, it's going to be over the weekend, and don't let finances hold you back. Give us a call. We have generous donors who give to the ministry so that we can help support and pay it forward for others to go. Okay, we're going to go back to the calls here. We're going to go to Lisa, who's actually in Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Lisa, how can we help you today?
Yes, thank you. I'm calling today concerning my nephew, who has a full-blown sex addiction. I have just recently found this out, and they live here. He and his wife live here in the area, and they have two young girls. And she is, you know, to the point, I found out through her that he has a sex addiction about middle of April. So I have, you know, I got together with his wife, and I told her about New Life, and I was, she was telling me that she would call you all today concerning getting her husband to Every Man's Battle here in the Washington, D.C. area, but she has not done that, and I'm just, you know, kind of believing it's because it's just maybe just too hard for her to do it. Her husband is, I guess you'd say, narcissistic. And I don't know that he's fully, you know, knows that he's got a, or maybe he is denying that he has a problem. She's at the point where she wants to have a divorce. And I actually have texted him and let him know about this event, and that I was telling him how, you know, that God would, you know, wants to set him free. And but he has not, you know, that I've, you know, anyway, I've told him, you know, to that he can contact you all, and that it's, you know, up to him to call. And
yes,
but he's, you know, he hasn't done this.
It sounds like you've got a good relationship with your nephew. Do you guys speak often?
Yeah, I mean, he's a, you know, he's a real friendly, warm-hearted person. And I'm calling today to want to know what his wife could say to him that possibly would, you know, cause him to come to this Every Man's Battle here. And also, what is, you know, what is my role as far as, now that I found this out about him, is allowing him to come into my home? What are my boundaries?
Yeah. Yeah, these are great questions here, Lisa. We're coming up to the break here. So on the other side of the break, we're going to hear from Alice. We're going to hear from JJ. You called on the right day here at the right time. So anybody else, if you want to call in today, 1-800-229-3000. We're here to take your calls.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. We're over halfway to meeting our $400,000 matching gift challenge that ends at the end of this month, May 31st. So thank you to all of you who have given so far. And we invite you to give. Come and partner with us. And because right now your gift will be doubled. Up to $400,000. So make your gift at newlife.com, donate, or you can text MATCH to 28950, or you can call us here at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And when you support our matching gift with a donation of $100 or more, we will send you the just-released Every Woman's Bible, which Misty Ottoman, Steve's wife, helped edit.
I got to hear a little bit of what she did while they were in the process of it. She has amazing insights, folks. So this is well worth taking a look at through a donation.
Yeah. All right. So we've been talking with Lisa right before the break. Lisa's called in about her nephew who has a full-blown sexual addiction. And her question is, how can she help him? Alice, what do you think?
Lisa, we wonder, what's the extent of the addiction because of which you have to wonder whether or not you can let him into your home?
Yeah, well, he actually goes to sex workers.
Uh-huh.
And, and his wife knows, you know, has come to know all this. You know, he just recently did this, you know, real recent. She's at the point where, you know, she wants a divorce.
And Lisa, is he asking to come move into your home if he has to leave his family home?
No.
So you're just wondering, should he be allowed to visit you at your home?
Yes, yeah.
And
then also I was calling today to see if his wife had called in today, what words would J.J. West tell her to say to her husband? And, of course, we, you know, the whole idea is to get him to the to the meeting here on the 17th. Mm-hmm. But he, if I could just say this real quickly, he doesn't, you know, he's not working very much. His dad gives him everything he ever wanted in his life. And just, you know, his dad just, he's always been a friend to his son rather than being a parent. And so there's no consequences for his behavior.
Yeah, JJ, so
that's
what do you say?
That's a great place to start, Lisa, is that there needs to be consequences. And so his wife can say, here are the consequences to your behavior. One is that I need you to find another place to stay, at least temporarily. Two, I need you to show me evidence that you're taking this seriously. One of the ways you can show me evidence that you're taking this seriously is that you call and sign up for the Everyman's Battle Intensive. That's not something that she can do for him. It's certainly not something you can do for him. It's something that he needs to do for himself. So she can say, look, you know, I'm willing to try to make this work, but you have to show me that you are committed to this process as well, and that you recognize that there are consequences to the decisions that you've made. So sounds like you're saying that she only recently discovered his sexual addiction as well, that you found out in April. But
she's known about it for probably 4 to 5 years.
Okay,
and he sleeps. He's in the basement. He sleeps in the basement because she certainly won't allow him into her, you know, into the bedroom. And he's also he's smoking weed. He's supposed to be a Christian, but he's not acting like one. And they do go to church.
Okay. Has there been any steps taken with the church leadership in terms of church discipline?
You know, she has not let the church leaders know that, but I did say to her, you know, that this would be the thing to do. And also at her church, they have a meeting for men, I think it's every Tuesday, concerning sex addiction. And she's told her husband about it. He knows about it, but he's not, you know, doing anything along that line. But I know the church leaders in that church don't know about his, you know, behavior and all. It hasn't been communicated to them by his wife.
Lisa, I would say this. On the whole, yes, I think that would be a route to go to talk to the church leadership, with the caveat that there are some churches that are not well equipped to handle this. And so I don't know their church, so I can't say automatically. The fact that they have a sexual addiction group for men, that's a good sign, but there's still not an automatic. So hopefully it would be a good thing for them to talk to leadership, but she could at least talk to them about how will they handle, what would they do in this particular kind of situation. But it sounds like she has made several requests over the years. This isn't a new thing. She's made requests for him to change, and he has not done anything with those requests. He has not gone to these groups. He's not done any concrete evidence to change his behavior. Is that accurate?
Yes, very accurate.
Okay. Gotcha. So that we're coming up on what may be like the last ditch effort, to the last opportunity that he has to show any remorse and actual evidence of change. It can't just be words. It actually has to be actions that follow up the words with, I'm going to go to the Everyman's Battle Intensive. I'm going to attend this weekly meeting. I'm going to be open and transparent about my finances, my time, so that I don't have these big blocks of time and money where I'm going and hiring sex workers.
Right, and I've even told him that his dad has plenty of money and gives him money all the time, but I texted Adam and told him, you know, I'll be glad to help financially, you know, for him to go, but I've not heard anything, you know.
Is his dad your brother? Is that how the relationship is?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is the dad who gives him all the money, is that your brother?
No, No, it's my sister's husband, but she's
your
passed on.
Husband.
She's with Jesus Christ, right? You know, she's...
Okay.
Yeah, she...
Gotcha.
Yeah. But no, he's... Gotcha. Yeah. He's my
brother-in-law.
Yes, thank you.
Lisa, when multiple requests haven't worked, as JJ's pointing out, it's really when more consequences need to be added and more loss and crises need to be allowed because he hasn't hit his bottom yet. And you help a person hit their bottom by allowing the rightful consequences to take place. So unfortunately, probably pursuing a legal separation will have to at least be considered so that he feels the pain of his behavior and how it's affecting them. And to your question about should you allow him into your house, I'd have you consider, does having him over enable him to escape the consequences? Or because you're such a truth teller with grace, does it make it more likely that being able to visit you will influence him for the good? I suspect it's the second. It will influence him for the good. So unless it's doing some sort of harm to you or safeguarding him from consequences, I wouldn't be too quick to close off that avenue of his good access to you because you're being God's hands and feet to him.
Yeah, I would agree, Alice. That absolutely. Yeah. And the other caveat I would put in is him being at your house, does that put anybody else in danger of his acting
good
out?
Point.
And
mm-hmm.
if that's not the case and he's not escaping consequences, then absolutely, I think it's good for him to have your influence in his life because you are telling him the truth and hopefully doing so with grace.
Yeah, well, great advice, Allison, JJ. I think one thing that I would add here, Lisa, is maybe working on the other side here with his wife. The Restore Conference is actually going to be in the Washington, D.C. area, July 12th to the 14th, and Restore is for women who have had betrayal from sexual betrayal. And so we can help them have a plan. We're going to send you Worthy of Her Trust, and I think that would be a good resource if you can get that into the hands of your nephew's wife here. Thanks again for calling in. We're going to go back to the calls here. We're going to talk to David. David's calling from Fredericksburg, Virginia, listens also on WAVA. David, how can we help you today?
Dear Saints, can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right, I'll make this quick.
Go ahead.
I was a single dad, five kids. Mm-hmm. Their mother had many medical issues and then had surgery and then became a very different person. Anyway, after we were apart in the late 90s. A doctor friend of mine shared a testimony, and the young man that called you in the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, he just spurted all this stuff. Anyway, so real quick, I've been involved with your ministry for years, and I actually have a daughter that goes to counseling in Warrington, the delightful counsel that's in your network. Mm-hmm. But the question is, this doctor friend of mine said when he was newly married and then when they had kids, his wife would start fights with him. And they were not safe. And they were near divorce. And they finally, the Lord broke in and they went.
David, we got 10 seconds here. What's your question that we can think about during the break?
Will your significant other sometimes...
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. If you're not able to listen live or call in live, we know lots of people listen to the show recorded on the podcast or on our app. But if you have a question but you're not able to ask it live, you can actually visit newlife.com/radio. And if you visit there, there's more information on how to leave a voicemail or send an email with your question. And at some point, we will try and get to your question live on air. Mm-hmm. Right now, though, we're talking with David, and David, I don't think we quite got to your question here. Could you give it to us?
Well, have you ever heard of a pattern where somebody would like, it sounds kind of dumb, but start a fight to provoke, intimacy, start a fight to make up kind of a thing? Anyway, this guy was a real thinker, and he would shut down and work intensely for a week or 2 weeks on a medical project. And he would end up, his wife would let him get in a tuff with a kid, and then she'd come in and hammer him, and he was like, she became explosive. And the counselor finally said, dude, you shut down when you're focused. And she takes offense. She is a young mother, young wife, she's thinking she's done something wrong, and she's willing to risk the entire relationship to draw you back in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. Hey, JJ, what do you think about David's question here?
The question correctly, that have I heard of someone provoking a fight in order to get intimacy, in order
yes.
to get connection,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, that was the question.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure that happens, because there's this sense of desperation, right? Like you're not pursuing me, you're not connecting with me on your own, and I'm feeling this sense of, oh gosh, I'm losing you. I don't matter to you, and I'm desperate for some sort of interaction. It's the same thing that you would have with children who, if they learned that they got attention through bad behavior, they would repeat that bad behavior in order to continue to get the attention. We would see that in the foster home quite frequently. In this particular case, right, there's a pattern of, and it may be from her family of origin as well, where she saw, oh, there's this point of connection that happens after a fight. There's this point of, oh, I'm sorry, and we're going to spend some time together. Or there could be a makeup sex, right? That could have felt really good, and so that's what I'm drawn to. I so long for that connection that I increase the conflict in order for you to then come back to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great answer here, JJ. I think that in particular, the vacillator attachment style will do that, because that's their experience as a child. They don't feel seen and they protest. And then when they get into adulthood, that's the way they try and get connection, is if it doesn't happen in a positive way, they will do it in a negative way. And sometimes that can look like provoking a fight to try and get some kind of connection to happen. We're going to send you a copy here, David, of the book How We Love. And I think that will be helpful to help you understand more about that dynamic. But we appreciate you calling in, and we appreciate your question here. We're going to go to one last call here for our show today. We're going to go to Marilyn. Marilyn's also calling from Washington, D.C., listens on WAVA. Marilyn, how can we help you today?
I have a friend who is being catfished, and nobody can reach her. And I haven't really heard this problem discussed too much on your program, and I was just wondering, as a friend, she lives in Florida, what are some steps that maybe I can do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, thanks for calling in. This is a great question. How old is your friend, Marilyn?
She is 75.
75.
She's a widower.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been through this once before, but her daughter was finally able to convince her that this person was not for real. But she's doing it again, and she is so deeply entrenched in this, and her daughter has just like thrown her hands up in the air. And even elder care got involved in this, not this one, but the last one, because the bank, I guess in Florida, the tellers are trained to recognize if they think an elderly person's being abused or whatever. But she has not told me about this latest relationship. Her daughter just called and, you know, told me about it. And I've been thinking about it. And I was driving home listening to your program. I thought, well, maybe someone has some wisdom they can give me on how to help her.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called in. Alice, what would you say to Marilyn?
You're a good friend, Marilyn. That's what I would start with. And these are the steps I would encourage you to take for your Florida friend. I would have you inquire, are you in a new relationship? Tell me how you're doing and what's going on, and start off in a lighthearted way. And then I would add in a lot of empathy for her, that this relationship is enjoyable. She feels good about it, and it really helps with her loneliness, because that sort of empathy and validation then gives you a better footing to express your concern and to point out some of the dangerous signs that you all are starting to see in the relationship. And she may or may not be able to receive that from you, but it's that combination of first grace and then a little bit of truth. And I wouldn't go on and on lecturing about it, but just briefly state what your concern is for her because you care about her. But two protective steps you or the daughter, probably the daughter, might have to take if this continues is calling Adult Protective Services, if need be, where they can send a social worker in to do an evaluation of the situation and determine if your friend might need more resources. The other one is power of attorney might need to be considered, where the daughter could have a more legal protective stance of her mother and of her finances. Those are hard steps to take, and I would only take it if you really think that she's at risk of being taken advantage of, which it sounds like you do.
That's great advice, Alice.
Oh, yes.
JJ, what would you add?
She's at risk, yeah.
Yeah, I would add that, you know, the scriptures tell us that there's great wisdom in the counsel of many. In other words, we all have blind spots. And so if I am approaching anything, trying to decide anything completely on my own, I run the risk of making a bad decision because I don't see everything clearly. And so your friend, in making these decisions about her romantic life, if she's doing them all on her own without any other input from others, she's running that same risk. And so it would be important for her to recognize, especially if she's a believer, hey, are you including other people in on these important decisions that you're making? Not like I have to get permission from other people. It's getting input, letting them help me overcome my own blind spots. But I agree with Alice. The emphasis really needs to be on relationship. She's prone to falling for these things because of her loneliness and possibly her isolation. And so really I would emphasize, you know, as much as you can, spend time with her, talking with her, enjoying her company, but also how can she as well expand her social network so that she's not feeling so alone and in need of, you know, looking past some of these major warning signs just to have companionship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great advice, JJ. Thanks so much for calling in, Marilyn. That's a great question. You are such a good friend. And so we're going to send you a copy of Every Woman's Bible. And we hope you enjoy that. And we want to just thank all of our callers who have called in today. Want to remind everybody listening too, we do have another show here. You want to be on our second show? It's 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.